Got Your Back Podstream is brought to you by Kinprint. For all your company's promotional needs, they do it all. Apparel, promotional products, using the highest quality brands. They do logo design, signage, and printing. Kinprint will promote your brand with excellence. Visit kinprint.ca. Well, it was fun while it lasted, wasn't it? The Oilers' winning streak comes to a screeching halt at an incredible 16 games. One off the NHL record. Something pretty spectacular that this group has pulled off. Jason Strudwick is standing by. We're going to break down the Oilers' loss to the Vegas Golden Knights. Welcome to Got Your Back, folks. As always, the podcast brought to you by Sherwood Buick GMC, where they're thrilled to announce once again they are maintaining their position as the number one volume GMC dealership in the entire country. That is six consecutive years, and they want to thank you for your continued support, for your loyalty. You are the driving force behind their success at the dealership. Visit Phil and the crew in Sherwood Park or online, www.gmcpod.com is the website. Fantastic dealership. Just off Baseline Road on the way into Sherwood Park. Coming at you from the Long Shot Studio. Happy to be back home in Sherwood Park. Long Shots, they're available for corporate events. So much more than just golf. Great dining experience too. But they got those TrackMan simulators at the heart of it all. A great simulated golf experience at Long Shots. Locations on Stony Plain Road and here in Sherwood Park. Good evening, Struds. How are we doing, my friend?
I'm glad there's no confusion over who's hosting the show tonight. I was, I prepared all day today, and then you shut me down about 5 minutes ago. I was just ready in case you need me. I'm always there, behind you.
That was funny, actually. If anyone didn't hear the podcast a couple of days ago, I was still in Mexico, and so there was a little confusion between Struds and I as to which one of us was hosting the podcast. So Struds just decided he was going to host it. And right off the bat, just blasted right into all the ad reads and everything and caught me a little bit by surprise. I love the fact that you just jumped right in, those Struds. Like, you know, I don't want a partner that hesitates. Like, you grab the bull by the horns. And even though you were wrong and you screwed it up and you weren't supposed to, right, as we get a hashtag from JL, hashtag let's Struddy host.
Right, there it is.
It's catching fire.
It's I think that'll take off all night.
Yeah. By the way, the Kinprint stuff is in.
Sharp.
And got a little surprise for you, Struddy. Oh. Little surprise. Not ready to put it in your hands yet. And by the way, through the podcast tonight, I'm going to be changing hats because we got a few different ones from Kinprint. Sure. We'll just be modeling some Got Your Back hats. If I recall correctly, what was your favorite? Because we've got some with the fist here. And right, then we've got some that just have the GYB. Now, if I remember correctly, you guys were put off because you thought I didn't listen to you. You thought that I asked your opinion and that ignored you. What was your preference? What were the main things you were looking for, Struds?
No, I don't want you to think that we don't think you listened. We know you didn't listen to us.
Okay.
We told you what we liked and you just discarded it like a bad meal. I will say the one you're wearing right now is really good, but I believe that Brownie and I said we both like GYB in big letters.
Right.
I believe that's what we said. Now, it's been a while. What's your recollection?
Well, and was there a specific type that you were looking for?
Well, visor. I mean, everyone loves a visor. I mean, that's just all right. Bill Belichick, myself.
Da, da, da. Boom.
Oh, Kinprint. Wow. How good does that look?
Anything.
Oh, jeez.
Kinprint has you covered, buddy.
So
look
good
at that. Kevin and the crew over there, they could not let you go hot wanting. Seller. And so they came up with a visor.
Hot seller. They're just think, hot buddy? Sellers right there.
I don't
there
know how you wear these things. Oh, it's so weird. You get all your hair. My head. Although it does cover up the thinning spot in the front for me. So that actually looks like I got a pretty significant head of hair happening beyond there.
Pretty forgiving, buddy.
Pretty forgiving. Not available for sale yet. We kind of got to figure it out. We'll do some giveaways. Why don't we do that? We'll do some giveaways in future podcasts, and we'll figure out a way to get some of these into people's hands. But as I said tonight, I'm just going to continue modeling Oh, wow. A few of the Got Your Back models that we have. So we've got about five or six different models. So thanks to the great crew over at Kin & Print. Shall we break it down, Struts? Time to do the breakdown?
Let's do it. Let's make it happen here. I'm fired up for this one.
Steve, by the way, if at some point, Steve Taylor at the helm, you created a GIF from, or a GIF, GIF from last podcast.
Yeah.
Probably too last minute here, but if at some point during the pod, you can bring up that GIF or GIF
I'll see if
you
I
created of Rob Brown. That's an all-timer.
All right.
So I'll put you under a little bit of pressure there. If you can, between now and the end of the podcast, definitely want to make it a regular part of the show. Let's get to breaking down the loss. Courtesy our friends at Adrenaline Diesel, Edmonton's heavy-duty diesel truck repair shop. Unique for a couple of reasons, right? They can do custom jobs, custom exhausts, engines, body work. If you can think of it, they can get it done. Also, they are the Ghostbusters. If you've taken your vehicle to a few different shops and they can't figure it out, one of those mysteries, Adrenaline Diesel will get to the bottom of it. Marty and his staff will not quit until they've got their answer. They love a challenge. High standards and great service. Visit adrenalinediesel.ca. Struds, if this game had been played 9 days ago, if the Oilers would have been able to just play this one without the break, do you think the result would have been different? Did they get pooched here by the break, by the schedule? Oiler fans are probably feeling that way a little bit.
I'm going to say this. I don't think that the break affected the outcome of this game. Okay. I think it's two really good teams going at it. Vegas is the defending Stanley Cup champions. They don't want another team to walk into their house and then break or tie a record that is incredible record. So I will say no. I don't believe that the break affected this game. What do you see? Stay.
I don't think so, because I feel the Oilers actually played pretty well in this game. Like, I thought they, you know, maybe a little bit of rust here and there, but I thought that they played pretty good. I thought they seemed to have their hands. They certainly had their work ethic. Like, it didn't feel to me like they'd skipped a whole bunch of beats, you know, and like Vegas had a break too. And so I'm not going to allow that to be an excuse. I will say it is unfortunate timing. Definitely unfortunate timing that you got this 9-day break before you get a chance to tie a league record. Not ideal. But the other side of the conversation is that the schedule makers, I mean, the Oilers have had a pretty reasonable schedule here for a little while. And quality of competition, travel-wise, like, the schedule set up for them to go on a little bit of a run like this. So the schedule giveth and the schedule taketh away sometimes, Stretty.
Does the streak really matter? If they won or lost tonight, I don't know if it really mattered. It mattered maybe in the record books.
Didn't.
But for this team this year, I don't think it really matters. And Matthias Ekholm post game spoke a little bit about it, said he's actually glad it's over.
He did say that. I'm kind of happy.
And he wasn't being like nasty to the media or anything like that. He just said,
no,
I don't need to talk about it anymore. Like it really doesn't matter. And that's kind of what... I tend to agree with them. It's really neat. I love talking. It's neat to follow. And for us, for fans, it's neat to see it and to be, to witness it. But for the guys on the team, at the end of the day, you don't get a Stanley Cup for winning 18 games in a row.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing like that. So I wonder if this maybe, I don't want to lose a game to Vegas, because I think this was a big game in the standings. Let's be clear about that.
Yeah.
That's a really big game in the standings. But now, you prepare, you practice, get back and ready for the Ducks on, Thursday, Friday.
So, I mean, the Oilers 6 points back, still have the four games in hand. But I totally agree with you. This streak was fun and it was interesting and it was really impressive. It was all of those things. But there was part of me that felt like, if you were Chris Knobloch, you're like, all right, let's try and get the record here. Sure. And then after you get the record, just kind of, I just feel like you don't want to go into the playoffs having been one of the all-time anythings, because you're just ripe to get toppled. You know, you don't want to have the longest winning streak ever heading into the playoffs. You don't want to have the best finish ever by a team or the most this. You just want to be playing good hockey and not have a lot of other conversation and just be solid. And so in the big picture, 16 wins, before that, 3 losses, 8 wins before that. That's 24 wins in 27 games. That's unbelievable, the amount of time. That's like 60, 70 days the Oilers have just been playing fantastic hockey. So I think, like, I watched some of the post game tonight, and we'll get to the Weiss Johnson soundbox in just a minute here. I don't think the players are super bummed about this streak. I think they're pissed they gave 2 points to Vegas.
Yeah, and Connor McDavid talked about that. He said, you know, we're, you know, maybe we might look back on the streak one day, but right now we're mad that we lost or we left 2 points out there. And, you know, Mark Spector is—he's a great reporter, and he's asked a lot of good questions over his time. But today he asked the guys, you know, did you feel like you ran out of luck? And so I'm not here to beat up on Spec. We're friends, sure. But the point is that I believe when you run that long and play that well for that long, I don't think that luck really comes into it. I think what it is that you're doing the right thing night after night after night, because you can play badly and get lucky for a few games, but you can't get lucky. And, you know, to run that long, you have to play well for a long time.
Yeah.
And the margins of victory are really tight. And there's some games where it was a lot tighter than others for the Oilers, but the way that they kept other teams at bay, kept the shots down, you know, the way Skinner played, I don't want to attribute that to luck. I think it's actually unfair to the team to say that they played well. They played really well. And let's just say that they would have won 5 in a row, lost one, 5 in a row, lost one, then, you know, then yep. 5 in a row. Like, does it change? Does it make it more lucky again? So again, this isn't a shot at Spec. I've heard this from friends and other people outside the market. I don't really like the idea of luck involved in good, well-played hockey, Shagar.
Yeah, no, and that's a fair point. And I mean, listen, I've been in that situation 100 times where
sure.
You're just needing the players to talk about what happened. And, yeah. You know, sometimes it's funny. It's like we're not necessarily professional question askers. We're professional answer getters, right? You ask questions in a way where yeah. You want to just get a good answer, right? And so, but what happens now, because all these questions are all broadcast live, you know, every single question is now out there to be critiqued. And that's part of the job. It's not an issue. I think the point that Spec was making was there were a lot of really tight games. And there were a lot of games in this streak recently where the Oilers probably won when maybe they weren't the better team, or they kind of squeezed one out, or maybe they put together like 7 or 8 good minutes, right? I think we would agree that towards the tail end of this streak, there were games where it was like, yeah, they're figuring out ways, but they definitely didn't bring their A game for 60 minutes. And I think Spec's point is eventually you're going to run out of road to keep having that happen. I think that's the point there. And I do agree with that, you know, basic notion. The Oilers they haven't been crushing it start to finish and destroying teams every night. There have been some tight games and some teams that have pushed them, and it hasn't all been beautiful, nor should it be. But fair point. Let's get to the Weiss Johnson soundbox here. Steve, cue up Connor McDavid postgame. Go ahead and roll it.
Yeah. I mean, excuse me. Yeah, we had a lot of things go right, obviously. You know, winning 16 straight, you got to have a lot of things go well. And you got to get some bounces. And we got some bounces. But for the most part, I thought we went out and earned our bounces and earned our luck. And like I said, tonight we didn't go out and get it. Credit to them. They make a shot and are able to clog it up just enough to get it done.
That in response to Spec's question, I believe, along the lines that you mentioned, Strutty, that's the Weiss Johnson sound box. Remember, they've got a great scratch and dent sale going on right now. Up to 20% off units with minor imperfections. All in-stock air conditioners, also 25% off. The sale ends February 15th. Visit www.weiss-johnson.com for details. Jingle. VA says, haha, don't ever mention puck luck to Strutty. He goes off, LOL. Has this been a burr in your saddle always, Strutty, the idea of puck luck? You don't like it?
I can't stand puck luck. And I know that people's the analytics, it's, what is it, attribute to, I forget the percentage, but it's quite high. And I understand that not everything is under our control, whether it's life or your job or specifically hockey. But you do, if you do the right thing over and over again, I believe that you the table tilts in your favor, or the game tilts in your favor. but it's because you do it over and over again. You're not putting yourself in a bad position. So I don't want to get into my whole puck luck discussion, but I as a player, I can't accept it that it's that random is so much percentage of puck luck.
Okay, so let's talk about the goals against and kind of what happened. So what did you see on the goals against? There's some are complaining here a little bit about Warren Fogle. I mean, Skinner got beat by a real nice shot. I mean, that's just a guy grabs a puck, snapshot, top shelf, fairly close in. I don't know. Is there a lot of blame to lay there or just a couple of breakdowns?
Yeah, I felt that CeCe he committed too far down below the net, or they both did, and then it left a high guy. And that's – you talk about this, you know, the guy that's not going to score isn't the one with the puck behind the net. It's the guy behind you. And it's very hard, and I got burned by that too, so I'm not talking like a Mr. Perfect. But, you know, you got to look around, and one of the two of them have to look around and figure, okay, well, there's two of us on one guy. That means someone else is open. Guess who it is? The guy that scores the goal.
Man, I thought defensively this was just – I thought it was a great game. Sure. So many good chances were broken up by guys busting their asses back on the back check. At both ends of the – there was one sequence where it was like, Oiler, great chance at one end, but a back checker got a stick on it. Puck goes up the other way, two on one. Back checker comes back and breaks it up, like right. – or gets a stick on a shot and deflects it over the net. A lot of the best chances tonight were stymied by great defensive efforts. And this was a low-scoring, grinding playoff-style game where that D and that commitment to D was kind of on display by both teams for large portions.
Yeah, it was good. And the Oilers have moved much closer to the way the Vegas plays as far as their dedication to playing good D zone. Now, you're going to have breakdowns. So, you know, I'm just critical of CeCe there. I mean, it's going to happen. You know, eventually something's going to happen. You just hope that it doesn't happen as often as the other team. So you look over a seven-game series. If the Oilers roll in and play that style of game for seven games against Vegas, can they win it? I'd take my chances. I'd take my chances that they would win it in that situation.
Yeah. What do you think of Connor McDavid tonight? Finishes with... Eight shots on net.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought the details in his game were fabulous tonight at both ends of the ice. I mean, comes out, wins the opening draw, and then goes on to win 8 of the 11 that he took. Seemed to me like the captain did what he could.
He was flying. The guy was fired up. He's playing so well. Now, the points aren't necessarily pouring in like we've seen in the past, but he's playing so well. He's in the right place more often than not. I will say this, though, and this is a bit of a broader discussion. Vegas loves to sit on what I'll call their five on the die. So if you can picture this, it's 2D in front, mm-hmm. a center, then two forwards kind of top of the circles. And they just sit there. And we saw a lot of it tonight where Connor's circling around the net and around the top and around, or Hyman's going the other way, or the passes are going around that five of the die. And Vegas is very happy to sit back and they're like, hey, we'll let you guys pass around. And it feels like you're getting a lot done, but you're not getting that much done because we're kind of controlling the middle part of the ice. So find the Oilers, so specifically Chris Knobloch. I'm going to go and review that tape and take a look and see how or which way you attack that to try to get more chances. Unfortunately, when they're sitting through like that, you can try to zim it through the box or the five on the die to try to get some easier shots on the other side. But honestly, Shocker, I think you got to get in the muck and you got to fight in front of that net. You got to grind and get ugly goals because they were sitting. In the last number of, I want to say 10 games, that's the most I've seen the Oilers kind of work it around that five on the die. And it feels like you're in the offensive zone a lot, but not necessarily getting a ton done.
Where's your level of concern with the power play? They've been able to win games despite the power play being middling. But I think we know the key to success for this team is to just murder teams that take penalties against them. I mean, when you get to playoff time, that power play, you just want it to be clicking. You want it to be a weapon. You want it to be devastating when the other team takes a penalty so they either have to play off you a little bit so that they don't, or you can just crush them. Where's your level of concern at with what you're seeing?
Well, they had two power plays, I believe, tonight, if I remember correctly.
They had a couple, yeah. I think they had a couple.
And you know, you could use one tonight. Could have used a power play tonight. Now, on the flip side, the penalty kill continues to roll along. In fact, they were shorthanded goal tonight, so they're actually plus one in the penalty kill department. So I'm not going to say I'm concerned about the penalty kill or power play.
They were 0 for 1 tonight, by the way.
Only had one.
On the game sheet here, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So, you know, so they have one. Well, I guess that one maybe was nullified because they got a penalty right away. But either way, they need to find the other teams are adjusting to them. They're not leaving them open as much. We can see what they're trying to do. Cut away that middle pass in the, you know, that goes cross ice. But they need to find a way to have a little success. Now they are still a pretty decent top power play. I think they're inside the top 10. I haven't looked in since tonight. But it would be nice if they could just get a bit of a heater there, because tonight, man, one power play goal, also that's a 2-1 game, probably has a different feel at the end than does right now.
Leaky 37 says power play is still too cute. Ryan Smith's nose says too many cheeky passes on the power play. The Dr. Carpy says time to change things up. I said this a month ago. Evan
changing up which way? Not personnel.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that's in reference to power play that. Clarify that, Dr. Carpy, what you mean when you say change things up.
I'm not saying you're wrong, but I just need to know, because if you're talking players,
yeah,
which guy? Net front? That's probably the only guy you're changing on that power play.
Yeah, send in clarification there, Dr. Carpy, and I'll read it when it comes in. A little bit of frustration on the stream here for Evan Bouchard. Maybe overhandling some pucks through the middle of the ice in the offensive zone, right? He's not necessarily the guy that has the mobility to stick handle through multiple guys challenging him. And Vegas was clearly wanting to put pressure on him when he had the puck in the middle of the ice there. What did you think, Streds?
Oh, well, that's what you're going to do. Would you rather see him shooting from there or pass it to his buddy Ekholm? And not that Ekholm's unskilled, but I mean, the shots aren't the same. And I can think of a couple times where, you know, he beats the first guy, quick little toe drag. Oh, who's the next guy? His name is Pokecheck. And just Pokecheck the puck off your stick. So, you know, he's got to figure out, you know, what do I do? If I don't have a shot, can I just slide 6 inches to one way and fire by a wrist shot just to get it to the net? And, you know, it goes back to what I was talking earlier. How do you break down that five on the die? You know, how do you make them struggle and feel stress in that situation? Because the reason they're in that is they're kind of lulling you to sleep and just let you kind of have your way, but you're really not having your way because you're really not attacking. So how can Bouchard find a way to get pucks to the net, not get blocked, but all the way to the net? It's hard. I've been in that position before, and shooting through a crowded house of your players and their players, Shager, that's not easy.
Yeah, I agree with you, buddy. Let's get to the UCAN Youth Services Relentless Player of the Game. Relying on your support for things like rent, food, work clothes, and bus passes, your donations go directly to helping the youth in our community build lives they're proud of. Become a $25 a month donor, receive a pair of tickets to one of their upcoming 6 comedy nights in March. It's going to be a wicked fun time. I've been to the UCAN comedy nights in previous years, and it's an absolute blast. Visit UCAN.ca to set up your monthly donation. Got your back. A proud monthly sponsor, a monthly contributor to UCAN Youth Services. Struds, what are you going to do for the Relentless Player of the Night tonight?
Well, a couple things. I noticed this player seems to be growing out of his hair, and I like it. And I
growing
really
out his hair?
He is. Well, it seems longer. I believe he had it shaved. Now he's kind of let it go longer. Okay. I'm talking about Vinny Dernay, or I'm not sure if that's how you say his name, but Vinny Dernay. I feel like his hair is growing out longer. I really felt he had a very strong game tonight.
Yeah, I agree.
He did contribute on the breakaway goal, or that, sorry, 2-on-0 goal, whatever you want to call, standing up on the blue line. But he made a couple really nice slippery little passes that a man that size shouldn't be making. And he's probably... You know, quite frankly, we've probably been haven't done him, you know, any favors by holding off his name on there. But I just want to recognize Vinny. I wouldn't say he's first star.
I like
it. I think that he was just there and he was very involved in the game and made plays that I would consider outside his wheelhouse to contribute to, well, one goal, but he could add a couple others as well.
Picked up an assist, 15-28, had 3 shot attempts. One of them ended up on net and had 3 block shots on the night. I thought it was a pretty high skill play when he came across the blue line, little hesitate, little drag, little feather pass through to Evander Kane, and ended up leading to an Oilers power play there on the slashing call. We talk about him needing to improve his hands after last season. He's not making that play last year from a confidence standpoint or a hand standpoint. He's not even trying that last year.
Yeah, you know, I think it was Jason Greger from Sports 1440 that had an article about what he talked about what his trainer did in the summer, and I loved it. And I've actually stolen a little bit from my D-man camps, but just making players make multiple choices and decisions with the pucks when you're going back to get it. And that's really what it is. You know, you got to just, first you have to have your head up. Then you have to have the skill to make a play with your head up. Then you have to identify what the right play is. And it feels like he's improved all three of those areas of his game, Shauger.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. A worthy recipient of the UCAN Youth Services Relentless Player of the Game Award. Okay, Struds, when we come back, we're going to beat around this winning streak a little bit, what it potentially means for the Oilers. We'll talk maybe a little bit of trade deadline stuff. I'm sure people are going to want to dig into that. Lots more ahead on the podcast, including Take a Lap, Struddy's World, Takeaways is next, and of course, your questions on the stream coming up in Ask Us Anything. Very quick break, quick hat change for me, and we'll be right back. Say goodbye to unruly hair and hello to a smooth and silky back in minutes with Backscape. Shave your back solo with no mess with Backscape's water-resistant long handle and patented six-blade design, leaving you with a no-mess shaving experience all in less than 5 minutes. Shop now for 40% off select kits just for you, our Got Your Back listeners. Use promo code GYBPOD on checkout and make 2024 your year to elevate your grooming routine. Okay, heroes, are you trying to tough it out through a sports or life injury right now? Trying to prove your mettle by grinding through, gritting your teeth? Well, Redefined Health is here to say it's time to come on in. At Redefined Health, they'll high-five you for your toughness and then get to work on helping you fix the problem. Helping athletes and heroes find better balance, performance, and injury prevention. Visit RedefinedHealth.com.
Are you ready to elevate your moving experience? Trusted for over 100 years, Ferguson Moving and Storage are your partners in relocation, ensuring your journey is smooth and stress-free. And say goodbye to surprises with Ferguson's transparent flat rate pricing. Contact them now for a free moving quote and use the promo code Ferguson to receive $100 off your next move. Visit FergusonMoving.com and let them lift your expectations.
Time now to get into our takeaways brought to you by Martin Motorsports. The snow is here and adventure is calling. Can you hear it? Your next epic ride is waiting at Martin Motorsports. Stop in to check out their lineup of new 2023 and 2024 Skidoos on the showroom floor, waiting to be sent out the door, and you can be straight on your way to the mountains. Visit them at either of their two Edmonton locations or online at martinmotorsports.ca. Got a frustrated text from our buddy Chris over at Martin Motorsports. They've been enjoying the streak. My mother-in-law can finally start watching games against Struds.
Oh, no.
So she's one of those superstitious ones.
Don't.
She watched a game and they won. And then she, during that 8-game winning streak, and then she watched one of the ones where they lost. So she was like, oh man. So she didn't watch. And then that's when they went on their streak. She not watched a game on this 16-game winning streak because she's not superstitious. She has not partaken in any of it because she just is that into it. She just was afraid to watch for fear that it might affect what's going on out there.
That's
old
hard.
Carol. Die hard fan.
Carol, I next time we see each other, we're gonna have a chat. I just why bother? You want to enjoy it. It's your team. Enjoy the run. Don't sit in the back thinking that that's going to be the thing that taints them.
Next time we're live out at Long Shots, Carol will be there. And you can try and talk some sense into her stress. She's pretty set in her ways, though, man. Set in her ways.
We all are.
Diehard Oiler fan. So there is some concern level. I'm sensing it on the stream here and from a few text messages that I'm getting. People are going, okay, hang on a second here. So really tight game against Vegas, playoff style, tight defensive, you know, seemed really close, all those things. Oh, yeah. Vegas was missing a couple of pretty critical players.
Ah, fair point.
Yeah. In Eichel and Theodore. So if you're using this as a measuring stick game, set aside winning streak, set aside the standing, set aside everything. It's a game both teams really wanted and a game where both teams played pretty well. And the Oilers didn't have enough, and Vegas was shorthanded, Struds. Should that change the sense of urgency or the feeling of how much firepower the Oilers need to be bringing in here?
Well, that's a good point, and it's, you know, it's something that I think you do have to factor in when you look at this loss, or if it would have been a win. But to me tonight, the Oilers look very fast. They looked much faster than Vegas. Now, Jack Eichel is, I wouldn't say he's a super fast player. You think he's super fast?
I think Jack Eichel's a phenomenal skater. He's not as
fast though.
Speedy. I think he's got fantastic top speed. Yeah.
Really?
100%.
Yeah. See, I see him more as a guy that likes to slow the game down. I don't see him a guy who's all about tempo.
Yeah.
But either way,
he's a great skater. How's that?
Well, they're all pretty good skaters. But yeah. But then Theodore, again, I think he's another guy that likes to slow the game down as well. Now, that doesn't mean they're slow. But, you know, some people play with tempo. They're just on it. Nathan McKinnon, he's with tempo. He's always attacking. He's always playing with tempo. Mikko Rantanen, I think he likes to slow the game down a bit. So there's a little bit different thing. So I think the Oilers would still be what, to me, would look like the faster team, even with both those guys in the lineup.
Yep.
But you're probably talking about a number one defenseman, a number one center. So that's a pretty big deal to have that in there.
Yep.
You know, I think the Oilers carried a bulk of the plates tonight. They could have won. I think Aiden Hill had a great game. I think that their defensive structure frustrated the Oilers, made it hard for them to get inside it. So that's, this is up to the coaching staff to break that. What do you do to break that? And if they can break that, I think they can figure out kind of how to break them, even with Eichel and Theodore in the lineup.
So moves made around the NHL the last week, some other Canadian teams, you know, making some moves. We'll get a little bit into the results that the Flames and Canucks, the early returns that they're getting here. But they get ahead of the game, right? They go out and they spend their assets and they get ahead of the game. They fill the needs that they know they have. I still think that I don't think Ken Holland will wait to the trade deadline. I think he'll still get ahead of it a little bit, similar to how he did last year. But you know, I do think it's important that they don't allow this streak to cloud their judgment about what they are in the big picture. And I think games like tonight, I think you need to pay attention to games like tonight. I really do. I don't read too much into it or go crazy over it, but I mean, you know, Warren Fogle as a top six forward, in the third round of the playoffs, I'm just not sure it's there. And that's no disrespect to him. He'd be a hell of a third line player. So I feel like that need is definitely there for that top six forward. And on a night like tonight, I think it was evident.
I hear you. And I'm not going to disagree. And that's been an area I'm looking at. That middle six, that's kind of where I keep going back to. I don't know that the player out there that's going to upgrade for CeCe is available and is going to truly going to upgrade him to make that trade worthwhile. When they brought Ekholm, that trade was worthwhile. And there was a desperate need. Would I like to see a better puck moving defenseman with CeCe's defensive side? 100%, I would. But who is that guy?
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know who. I don't know who it is that's going to be available and what the cost is and what that limits you to do everything else. So, if you want to move, if you were to get a top six forward to play on the wing, then what would you do? Would you move Holloway or Perry down?
Oh, I think you can just kind of just see how everybody's playing. I think you've got amazing competition for your third line, and I think that's a great thing. You look at most Stanley Cup winning teams, you're looking at their fourth line going, I feel like that guy'd be a third liner on a lot of other teams.
Sure. Yeah.
That's what it looks like almost every time. Look back over the years. When was the last time a team won a cup with fourth line where you're like, really?
Huh. No, fair point.
Like always there's upward pressure. So if Dylan Holloway has to fight and scrap or play his off wing to be a third line player instead of a fourth line player, means you're probably a pretty good team. If Corey Perry still, you know, looking like he can be effective, is a fourth line right winger because they've got lots of guys that can get it done in the top nine, you know, I think that's a positive thing. Good problem to have, I guess, would be my thought on that. I don't know who. I don't know exactly what the proper fit is. You have to think they're looking. But on the blue line, the CeCe one is really interesting. Like, you have to make sure it's going to be an upgrade. Like, you have to make sure it's going to be a significant upgrade. Or how do you – I mean, his cap hit for what he gives you is – there's such quality there with his cap hit and his quality of play, those two things in combination with one another. you got to make sure you get it right and that it's an actual upgrade and you don't upset the apple cart too much because Vinny ends up being the one, right? Vinny ends up being the one who might be the odd man out if you upgrade on the right side.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's quite, I think if you upgrade, I think CeCe's got to go. Like there's just, and not because I don't like him, but I don't think you're going to afford to have
that.
It's money in, money out. And I think CeCe would have value on the trade market with that contract another year at 3.5. I'd floor it if he didn't have some kind of value.
For
that deal.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we've heard a bunch of names that are out there and I don't know how much big game hunting the Oilers will be able to do, right? How much money can they actually get out? Sean Walker's a name that's always brought up out there. Like the player, like the contract and all of those things. He's unrestricted at the end of the year.
Not a big guy.
Yeah, no, I agree. Not a big guy, but I think there's a decent level of compete there. I think there's a pretty good D-man there. But how much of an upgrade actually is it? Like that's what you got to get. That's what you got to figure out here.
Well, offensively, he'd be an upgrade on CeCe as far as goal scoring, but he's listed at 5'11", walks around at 5'10". So, you know, you look at some of the Stanley Cup winning defensemen of the last number of years, not a lot of 5'10 D men walking around in those Stanley Cup parades.
Yeah, fair enough. What do you think of Boone Jenner?
Well, I love Boone Jenner. I mean, now Boone has got to have, he's got to have another year left. He's not
2 years left, 3.75 million, 2 years left. He's got
this year and next year.
He's got, no, he's got next year and a year after.
So three, he's got, yeah. Yeah. I love Boone Jenner. I think that he brings a lot of effort to the team. He's the captain of that team.
I know.
And there's not a lot going right there right now. So are they really going to ship out their captain? I don't know that's going to be a cheap deal, you know, and I'll say it again, but I'm not allowing that GM to make that trade, you know?
Well, like, that's the question, right?
I can't do it, but so let's park my anti-Columbus GM stance. But when I look at it, I would love to have Boone Jenner and the cap, it isn't gross, but how do you fit that in? Because boy, he brings what you need. He brings some character and obviously some skill to your lineup.
Plays center, right? Can play the wing.
And he's been miscast. He's been playing up at number one center, I believe. Yeah. Maybe not this year, but they had nobody else. They have no centers. So that's another one. So what center are they going to want? What if they said we want Ryan McLeod?
I don't know. I don't know. And that's weird for me to say because we know how you know, my feeling on Ryan McLeod, but he's been better and he's been driving play and he's been more engaged and he was a decent playoff performer for you. That's interesting. That'd be trading some speed out of your lineup though. Like Ryan McLeod is a speedy player. Yes. He's a good penalty killer. That's interesting, man.
But they need centers. Yeah. You know, I think Fantilli's a center now. I think Sillinger could be a center. I believe this is off the top of my head. So don't come after me. Ken Johnson, I think another guy that could be a center.
Yeah.
And they have the guy from Winnipeg. I can't think of his name right now, but they either don't have their centers aren't age appropriate to play with the guys they have, or they maybe aren't elite centers.
Boone Jenner, you know, he makes you more ready for where you're trying to get to right now. He's a veteran player. He's a leader. He plays a robust style. He's got leadership qualities out the yin yang. You reduce your speed. You know, what does he have for goals? So 26 goals last season. He's got 13 on the go in 35 games this year in a tough situation out in Columbus. I like the player for sure. And he probably helps you more when it matters most than McLeod will. I would say that. So you probably have to, you'd have to give that some good consideration. Interesting though.
Well, when you're looking at tonight's game, does Boone Jenner get on the inside of some of those big D men and find a way to tap one home?
Yeah.
That's what you need. That's what you're looking for. In a game like tonight, you need a Ryan Smith goal inside their D men. Mm-hmm. Corey Perry was there a ton. And that line, we should say, was really, I thought they were really good tonight. The line of Perry, McLeod, and Holloway. I thought they had some really good shifts.
Yeah.
But Perry's around that net. He's annoying and he goes to that net all the time, right in front of Adin Hill.
Yeah. Jenner had the busted jaw this year, I think, too, which maybe slowed him down a little bit. So he was dealing with some injury stuff. But it'll be interesting to see. Like, this is, I mean, it's Ken Holland's last year. It's go, go, go time. You know, they got that first-round pick. They got a team that clearly has what it takes to contend. They've got a goaltender who looks like he's ready to grab it and sure. elevate from where he was last year. All the elements are in place. It's about cap space, money out, money in, the right guy. Ken Holland has been pretty good at figuring out what his team needs, heading into deadlines and you know, figuring out a way to make some adjustments. Last year was a good example of that. So it's going to be fascinating to see which direction they go in, whether it's just a depth defenseman or they actually try and upgrade guys in their lineup. But I definitely see an upgrade coming in that middle line or in that middle six up front. So it'll be interesting to see. That was Takeaways brought to you by Martin Motorsports. Kinprint also did some, now these are not necessarily going to be available, Struds, but Kevin at Kinprint was like, hey, Ryan, just pick four other random designs, four other random hats, go off the board, have a little bit of fun with it. So we did that with a few of these other ones. Totally different than everything else we've done. What do you got that one, Struddy? A little rust and gray, rust and brown. Are you muted?
Yeah.
Oh, you there?
I like that one. I like that one.
Yeah.
That's solid. Solid one.
Good. Solid. Okay. All right. You okay, buddy, tonight? You're a little sleepy, eh? The eyes are a little. A little
bit droopy. I didn't have a good sleep last night. I don't know what the problem was. I woke up around 4 and did the Wordle Unlimited connections. Couldn't fall asleep, I couldn't go back to sleep. So I'm bringing in what I can. I'm dragging myself across the finish line here. Yeah,
you have carried me so many nights on this podcast. So when we come back, we're gonna take a lap. Then my buddy here is gonna perk up for Strutty's World and ask us anything. So short break, quick hat change, and lots more podcasting to come.
If you own or operate a business, you know the value of a great employee. Just ask Shogger. Pathfinder is here to help you find your next star player to help take your business to the next level. Pathfinder can help with recruitment, career transition, leadership coaching. They truly have your whole team covered. Building you a championship caliber roster, find your team's path forward at pathfinder.ca.
Time to talk about your mortgage? It doesn't have to be a daunting conversation. With over 16 years in the industry, Maria Gallus with Maximal Mortgages knows how to make it easy. With access to dozens of different lenders, let Maria customize the perfect solution for you. Whether you're purchasing, refinancing, or renewing, or a first-time buyer, Maria's simplistic approach and expert advice will have you feeling confident you're in great hands, making informed decisions. Take the stress out of your mortgage journey. Contact Maria Gallus at mortgagesbymaria.ca. That's mortgagesbymaria.ca.
The Edmonton Sport and Social Club's spring season is set to go in May, and registration is just around the corner. Team up with your pals to play in slow pitch, beach volleyball, outdoor soccer, ultimate frisbee, and even cornhole leagues to keep the spring months full of excitement. Spring leagues begin in May. Registration opens on February 8th. Visit EdmontonSportsClub.com for more details. Time to take a lap, brought to you by Backscape. Bid farewell to unwanted back hair. Solo in just 5 minutes with the fastest growing male grooming tool on the planet. There it is. With Backscape's water resistant and rechargeable long handle, you can shave independently in any direction. No cuts, scrapes, bumps, or mess. Name the superhero of razors. Let Backscape have your back and tame that wild mane. Visit Backscape.com. That's BAKscape.com. Strutty, you ready to deliver the tag? You remember it? Backscape.
We make it smoother.
Nope, you've done it wrong again.
Smooth it over.
Nope, that's not it either. Stay smooth.
Stay gentlemen. Smooth. That was close.
Stay smooth, gentlemen.
If I would have hosted last night, I would have got that right.
Yes, you would have. You're the one line I give you tonight, and you got it wrong. Yeah. Let's take a lap around the league, bud. Where do you want to start? Oh,
huge trade, obviously, when Lindholm and Kuzmenko were shifted from the Flames and
yes.
Canucks, respectively. They both played tonight, and guess what? Good returns for both teams. You got Lindholm scoring two tipped goals in front on the power play for Vancouver. Two nice little tips. Rick Tocchet was all over him, just loving his game. I think he led all Vancouver Canucks players in, or at least forwards, in 5-on-5 ice time. And then on the other side, Kuzmenko and his new teammates, the Flames, are down in Boston. They won 4-1. He scored a nice power play goal, a nice shot, actually. And then even better than that, I think, would be Huberdeau. 3 points tonight. And,
yeah.
And they need that. They need that guy going. Ryan Huska probably dreams of just that guy having a hot second half.
Oh, yeah.
He and Kuzmenko finding some chemistry. Obviously, they did in game one, so that's a good start and good sign for both clubs.
Just kind of shaking it up, like moving some deck chairs around. Different skilled guy in there now from the skilled guy that was there before. Just shaking things up and giving it a different look. Because while when you look at the individual parts in Calgary, you can look at them and go, man, there's a lot of, you know, some good pieces here and some good individual players, but it just hasn't worked together. So I understand the idea of just get some different guys in there and just hope that something clicks, hope that something snaps into place. And we saw that early returns with Kuzmenko. The Lindholm one is interesting. Two nice tips right in front of the net, right in that spot. That's where it looks like Tocchet wants him to hang out a little bit, which is great. What's it like, Struds, when a new guy shows up and gets something done early like that? First game right out of the gate, boom. Nice entry onto the team.
Well, I think it's more important for the individual player than for the rest of the team. And probably for the GM as well, I should say. So for the individual player, you want to feel like you contribute right away. You've come out and you're helping the team and you found your way in. Now that first game is behind you. The first game is always nerve-wracking. The first game is behind you. You scored a couple goals. You helped the team win. Helped Demko get, I think it was his ninth straight win in a row, which is pretty crazy. But it's a good feeling. For the team, like, you're not expecting anyone to come and rescue. You know, it's not like the Canucks are, you know, a borderline playoff team. They don't need to be rescued. So they need him just to support and help maintain where they're at. And today he did more than that. So I think it's every case a little bit different. But for him, it's a great way to start. Now he can breathe deeply. He doesn't have to worry about, I haven't scored in 10 games. And I just got traded for all these guys.
How do you feel about the Flames? Like, what's realistic for them?
I feel that they're, well, I think they're going to get worse because I think they're going to trade away those two defensemen.
Yeah.
I really think that they had a nice run. Obviously, they had some decent seasons. It doesn't translate or hasn't translated to a lot of playoff success. And the team shifted over or turned over quite a bit. I think it's time to just say, okay, we're going to transition now to a younger team with some younger assets, because that new building will be ready in, let's say, four seasons. You want to be going there with a good young team with some players, and they've got some pretty decent ones like Connor Zary's up there. Mm-hmm. that seems to have an impact already for this group. So I think they want to continue to try to add those type of pieces through drafting and or trading for prospects, like they did with some of the two D-men they picked up from Vancouver.
Sounds good. Where are we going next?
Next would be high hit today.
Yeah.
Brandon Dillon, who I love. Dillon, I love this guy. Plays for Winnipeg. They're playing against Pittsburgh. And he hit one of the best names in the NHL, Noel Acciardi, coming across the blue line, caught him with an elbow. Was that elbow? I think it was an elbow. Yeah. Or a shoulder.
Shoulder to the head. I'd say it was more shoulder from what I saw.
So either way, helmet goes flying. He got a 5 in a match, and he gone. So he's going to be sitting out for some games. But I really like the way Dillon plays. And this is – the NHL's got this hit to the head so right. It's so clear. This is exactly what happens when you get this – you know, when you do this, these are the penalty. Now you're having a review. You're going to be suspended. I love it. It's so clear. We both agree, I'm sure. They should have the same type of thing for hits from behind.
Yeah, it's an interesting one because, you know, the player's bent over and a lot shorter and coming through. Like, years ago, we wouldn't have really even thought about this.
Sure.
It's so crazy how far the thought process has come on this, but difference in size, players bent over, but principal point of contact being the head, there's not going to be much choice here. And Dylan, you know, he'll answer the bell, you know, when it's time to answer the bell, yeah. He'll do that for throwing a hit like that. And, but not much of a doubt there. What do you think it looks like? How many games do you think?
Does he have a past history? I mean, he plays on the edge, like, yeah. And that's what I like about him. I believe he was also undrafted, and that's just a very random thing to say. But I think he's probably looking at 2 to 3 games at least.
Yeah, that sort of feels like it's in the range, yeah, for sure.
He gets nailed.
All right, that was Taking a Lap, brought to you by our good pals over at Backscape. Stay smooth, gentlemen. Before we go to break, Strutty, have to make a television recommendation for you. We don't talk about a lot of TV on the podcast, on the show here, but I started a series tonight that I've been looking forward to for months. I've seen ads for months, and I've been giddy with this coming out. Over on Apple TV, it is called Masters of the Air. Have you seen this?
I just started it myself.
So, you did? Yeah. Did you just watch episode one?
I have not quite done episode one, but yeah, because it falls in line with like Band of Brothers and those other gentlemen.
Yeah, but in the sky, right? It's like Band of Brothers in the sky. So how far are you into episode one, and what are your early returns?
Well, I'm not going to lie. I put it on this afternoon. I was having lunch, and I fell asleep, so I probably watched 20 minutes.
Bad day for you to start a series like that. You need You need to be ready, not exhausted.
Fair point. Yeah. No, I do need to be a better version of myself. But you're liking it so far?
Oh, yeah, buddy. Yeah. Really good. I think there's already 3 episodes that are available. So that one. And then the other one I binged on the way home from Mexico, Griselda.
I saw that. Yeah.
Have you seen that one on, did you watch any of it?
I haven't. It's that good, eh?
It's interesting. So it's, I'm trying to remember her name. Sofia Vergara.
Yeah.
From Modern Family. She plays a female drug lord in Miami back during, the crazy, drug wars. Sure. And, pretty interesting. It was well done. I really like Narcos and all those other series that Netflix did that are in that genre and in that space. So I thought, definitely worth the time. And then the other one I'm really looking forward to, I'm one episode in, is The Bear, that cooking one that won a bunch of awards.
Okay.
Haven't heard of that one?
I'm not familiar with that one. No.
I'll let you know.
Okay.
Any recommendations for us? Let us know on the stream.
Yeah.
Looking for some TV here. Orders are still away for a few days, so we got a little bit of time to kill. When we come back, Strutty's World. Stick around.
Winter is upon us, so why not make the best of it? Marmot Basin Ski Resort is where it's at. Ski half price every day, no blackout periods. Pick up your escape card for $99 and make winter fun more affordable. Half the price, all the powder. Get yours at www.skimarmot.com.
Long Shots Golf is the destination for both golf enthusiasts and sports fans. Top-of-the-line TrackMan simulators provide a highly entertaining and accurate golf experience, while a full-service sports bar loaded with big screens and scratch kitchen make it a truly unique destination. They have locations in Sherwood Park and Edmonton. Experience the best indoor golf and sports bar in town. Visit longshots.ca. That's longshots with a Z.ca.
When you make a mistake, heads should roll. It's not right. And I'm here. Someone has to put their foot down. Now that I say it out loud, it does sound a little crazy.
Gotta look good.
Time now for Strutty's World, brought to you by DLR Vinyl Products. They've got locations in Calgary and in Edmonton. Whether you're a homeowner, a contractor, or a builder, DLR is the most reliable source for vinyl fence. They opened up in 2005, and they're not going anywhere. Unmatched service, high quality, North American-made products. Visit DLRVinylProducts.ca. Struds? Where are we going?
Two versus ones. I'm sure somewhere Craig McTavish was screaming for our good man Brett Kulak to lay down on that 2-on-1 halfway through the second period. But nay, he didn't do that. Guess what he did? He stood up. He played it perfectly, took away the pass, was up in the face. And in fact, at that point, I think it was Wah who had actually turned back up, cycle around, turned back up the ice, and he drove him nearly outside the blue line. That was beautiful. That was a beautiful thing. You don't always have to lay down. There are some times to lay down, but Craig, I know you're listening. You don't always have to lay down. And that was a beautiful work of art, defending it 2-on-1. It was 10 minutes to go. I think it was almost right on the dot, right around 10 minutes to go in that second period where he did just a marvelous job dropping down. And I'm sure Craig McTavish's eyes just busted out of his head when he saw that play without laying down like he recommends.
At any point, do you think you're thinking on this will change, or are you locked in on this?
I think I have no problem laying down at certain times, and to be fair, I think Craig would agree we'd be the same. The timing makes a difference. The timing of when you drop down and who has the puck as well. But you can play it well by standing up as well. Now Craig and I will always disagree on this. And you know, obviously he's a forward, so he thinks that D-men aren't very smart, but we are probably the smartest people on the ice. And so I think that at that moment, when you lay down, if he drops down that really far out, like where he was starting that, they skate around him, and now it's a 2-on-0.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a good point. How about a 2-on-0 shorthanded, by the way, talking about odd man rushes and stuff? I mean, of all the bizarre things, you let those guys in behind you shorthanded, and they're going to be money every single time. I like the fact that they didn't overpass it, though. Just a couple passes, boom, moving in.
Well, let's first talk about the play by Knobloch. Usually, he put someone else out there for the third pairing. For whatever reason, he put what maybe it was someone's skate or wasn't right, or he just had a feeling or whatever, and he put those two guys out there. But let's talk about the genius of the play. Starts with the D-man.
Vinny D.
The big Vinny D holds the line pretty well, and he has a very long stick, so it's a little bit different than when you're, you know, a Samuel Girard with a stick that is a mini stick. But he holds the line pretty well, flicks that puck up, boom, Connor gone, Leon back, goal. So it you know, the finishing looks great, but I think we have to also credit the D-man for standing up as much as he did at the blue line.
Yeah, Vinny had a good game, man. Vinny,
like, really good.
He's
D.
consistently pushing more minutes than Kulak, and he's, I don't know, man. Can he handle a Stanley Cup final? Can he handle the third round against whoever it's going to be? Like, we're seeing really, really good regular season Vinny Dernay taking steps, like really good strides. But when it gets real and it's truly real and the bullets are flying and it's tight.
Yeah.
Is he your everyday guy? Is he your everyday third pairing guy?
Do you have a choice? Like, I just don't. You know, what are you going to do? Are you going to push him out, make him your seventh? And someone has to come out if you're going to do that. Someone up front would have to come out to do that.
Mm-hmm.
If he's your seventh, that's a pretty damn good decor.
Yeah.
Because I'm assuming then that'd be CC would be your sixth or fifth.
And the penalty kill. Like he's made himself almost indispensable by how effective he can be.
Right.
You know, when they're killing penalties. And that's really meaningful. That means something. Like this whole thing with Connor Brown and not scoring, it's no good. And I know with the cap hit and the bonuses and all that stuff, it's no good. And there's nothing about it that is great. Sure. But take away the numbers and just look at the player's contribution. The coach is happy to have this player in the lineup every night.
Yeah, working hard. He works hard.
And killing.
He had a couple chances in the third, you know, he's trying to create something. It's like he's overthinking. I would have liked to see him just put his head down, push that puck out outside his body, and just drive the net. Drive the net like it's the most, it's an oasis.
Yeah, 100%. Just that was drive it hard. That was Strutty's World, brought to you by DLR Vinyl Products. Final segment of the podcast where we're going to get you involved. So, Steve, why don't you hop on in here, my man? Doing a great job at the controls out there.
Really good.
You good, pal?
Yeah, I'm great. Yeah, it's nice to be back.
Good.
Don't be nervous.
Steve, don't be nervous. Do you have a favorite on the hat front? If I'm going to be sending some to you and Zuby out in Kelowna, is there a?
Yeah, I like the orange fist on the blue hat. The first orange one you wore, I guess.
That's classy. Yeah, that's a nice one.
Yeah. By the way, I have another one specially designed for Rob Brown. So this one is a little bit different. We only had four of these ones made. And this one's a brownie special because so not only does it have the fist on the front, but we all know what brownie likes to do, right, guys? Brownie goes like that.
Boom. Oh, yes. That's, that's a brownie custom brownie special for us.
That is a custom brownie special courtesy of our friends at Kinprint. That's a bad look on me, though.
Yeah, like how old does brownie think he is? Like 12? You know, like just wear hats properly. I don't get it. I've said that to him privately, so I can say it publicly.
Yeah. I like this one though. This one's kind of it's got a stealth look to it. So this is a sharp one.
Pretty smart. My father-in-law lives in Cape Breton. Listens to every single episode, by the way. And
oh, does he?
Yeah.
Big you trying fan. To get a free hat for your father-in-law? Is that what's happening?
Yeah. I'll buy him a hat. He's excited for a hat. He wants one right away. He's got that man in Cape Breton. Have you seen the snow out there? They're dealing with like
it's insane.
Oh yeah, we're talking like. It's taller than him out on the walk.
Bitumen says Rashog wears many hats on this podcast. True. Nice play on words there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And McFosite will recognize this. It's the FlexFit Delta. That's what it's called. So yeah, have to have some more of these made.
I can hear that helmet just screaming right now.
It is tight. It's so like, you can see the red line.
No one please. Else could use that hat.
No, it'll be... It's,
Even Kinprint can't make a hat quality enough to hold back this melon. Ask Us Anything tonight will be brought to you by the Shark of the Park, Renee Buchlan of Maxwell Devonshire Realty. She's all about amazing service for her client. Buying a house is a big deal, right? You need someone you know you can trust and who you know is working 24/7 to either sell your home or help you find the perfect one for you and your family. Give Renee a call. Tell her Got Your Back sent you. 780-994-0280. Steve, take us to the Weiss Johnson YouTube stream, my friend.
Okay. So yeah, the stream is like, I'd say it's 90% just talking about trades and acquisitions and everyone's throwing guys out and names okay. out and trying to figure stuff out. So I noted a few and I'll just read them out to you. So Kegel 97 and a lot of other people too. Just talking about Jake Gensel, obviously. Mm-hmm. A lot of excitement for him. Leakey 37 says, I love Konechny, but I don't see Philly trading him. If you have any opinions on any of these, just interrupt me. Colin Williams says, Josh Anderson interest in the bottom six.
Mm-hmm.
Shane Matheson says, Adam Larson would be the one true upgrade for this team.
Wow. Yeah, making his return to Edmonton. Let's stop there, Strutty. What do you think about Gensel?
Well, let me say first a hard no to Josh Anderson. Just introduce that into the conversation. No, he's at $5.5 million. I don't see it. Jake Gensel. I mean, I could see him and Leon having nice chemistry. He's a shooter that skates and gets in there. I would love him. To have him on this team. But I don't know exactly how the money works. I know you can divide it and square it and things like that, but that's $6 million. You're getting up there. But if a pure player, I'll take him tomorrow beside it. Cause now that'd be Kane, Leon, Gensel, and then some combo of the third line they have now. And then that fourth line, whoever goes down, it automatically gets bigger and probably faster. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I like the player, knows how to play with skilled players, knows how to be an excellent, I want to say complimentary, but he's more than that. So just a real good player that knows how to function next to world-class players. And I think that means something when you have experience doing that. You understand what it's like in those situations. So definitely like him. Again, it'll be tricky. We need to have Hart Levine on from Puckpedia too before we get too deep into the trade deadline stuff, because really want to have a firm understanding with the space they've created for themselves. You know, what is realistic for them to target in terms of dollar figures? And I know the answer is the other team retaining or who's going off the Oilers roster? And those things are all relevant too. But there are going to be some cap implications to what they can get done here. And if you recall, Ken Holland made this sort of joke, we'll call it, when they got Corey Perry, about how, you know, well, maybe you don't need to travel for trade deadline. You know, maybe you can just stay home talking to the reporters about it, because we'll be all on the road with the team during trade deadline. So I'd imagine they'll be standing pat, but how big game can they go hunting? I'm not sure the answer in that. Steve?
All right. Well, SKB says we need Pat Maroon on this team.
Yeah, they already added their not the fleetest of foot Stanley Cup champion to the bottom six. I think it would be a mistake to slow themselves down anymore. Struds, you?
They have their guy. I think he's a right-handed guy. I that was the name I floated before the season, but I think that ship sailed. And quite honestly, they got Corey Perry for free.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Neil Garrity says, I'd rather have Jeff Carter than Maroon.
Yeah, I mean, Carter, even in his older days, he's always had the good feet. Maroon's interesting. Like, there's something about Maroon. He's got some mojo. He just seems to be able to kind of get things done in big moments sometimes. And, yeah, that glue guy in the room and the energy guy on the bench and all those things. So, some interest there. But, I'm not sure if adding that guy again is necessarily the right way to go.
Curry 17 says, what about Sean Durzi?
Yeah, smaller, isn't he? Isn't he
quite a bit smaller? Guy.
Yeah, quite a bit smaller.
I liked him. I think he was, I really liked him, I believe, when he was with the Kings.
He's with the Kings. Yeah. He's in Arizona now.
Yeah, I really liked the way he played. I guess he's 6 feet.
He's a six-footer, yep.
I like him. Again, I a little bit biased here with a little bit bigger body. And I'm guessing that's to play beside Darnell Nurse would be that is out there inferring.
I think that would probably be the assumption there. He's a right shot guy. I'll steer it in a bit of a different direction, Struds, because I'm just reminded of, I did overdrive today. We were shredding you, by the way. It just happened. I tried to defend you, but it was an onslaught. There was nothing I could do. I think it was Hayes today that in discussions about the World Cup team, the Four Nations Cup team for Canada, talking about the goaltending, like Stuart Skinner's in this conversation based on his season turning around the way it has, the numbers he's put up, and the lack of depth overall for Canada in net, I would say. Like, where do you kind of put Skinner in the pantheon of Canadian goaltenders that could fight for that starting job for Team Canada? I mean, you run through a few of the guys. I mean, Binnington is probably the most experienced. Even Montembeau in Montreal was getting a little bit of love for that. Hill, who the Oilers just played. But the point is, there isn't this big, long list of juggernauts that you have to leapfrog. Putting together a good finish to the season and a solid playoff puts him firmly near the top of the conversation.
Well, it feels like historically there's been a guy, right? Patrick Waugh, Carey Price, Robbie Luongo, Marc-Andre Fleury. Like, there's been a guy. And right now, I don't think there is a guy. It's a bit of a soft spot or a lull, if you will. Now, any one of the guys that you just hammered out could become the guy. Another guy might have been Carter Hart. We know where his situation is with his legal matter. He'll be off the playing board here for the foreseeable future. So there's not the guy. So I think in the back of your mind, if you're one of these goalies, you want to keep working towards that. Now you have to play well, and let's just see what this looks like at the end of the year. Aiden Hill's already got that Stanley Cup in his pocket. He's played really well. What can Skinner do over the next number of months and into the playoffs as well? So I think there's time for this to evolve, but if there's some kind of training camp or I can't see how he would not be involved in that discussion.
Leaky 37 says, save the Four Nations discussion for your Sunday pod. Fair point, Four Nations. Fair point on a Sunday.
Fair point. And
I think we will be doing one this Sunday. Steve, any last comments or are we ready to wrap it?
Some second line stuff. So, Chaos Never Died says Kane and Leon are too slow on the same line. And Ryan Smith's nose says, do you change the second line up at all or just let them cook?
Fogel had a tough night tonight. It wasn't Fogel's best night tonight. But
yeah, we just got engaged, right? He's got that, the emotional excitement of that baggage.
Right.
Not bad baggage, the wrong word, but the emotional like juice from that moment. Did he not just get engaged? Did I dream that?
No. Gene did a hit during the broadcast tonight. They showed some pictures and stuff. They were in Cabo as well, it sounded like. So here's something for you. We'll learn something about this coach. What do you do with your lines next game? Like, he's not a guy that panics. He's not a guy that throws things in the blender. He's not a guy that overreacts. I'll be very interested to see what comes out the gate for their next game. I feel like he'll, for the most part, rack it back with maybe a tweak. Do we see a tweak on the second line? Do we? I don't know.
I know what you're saying, Corey Perry. I already know you're angling for me to say, hey, what about Corey Perry for Fogle,
Ryan? I wasn't even thinking that.
Look at his face, Steve. He's thinking, boy, who suggested that eons ago?
That's not what I was saying. That's not what I was thinking. Maybe Holloway? I don't know. Maybe, I don't know.
That might be another guy. Yeah, no, that's fair.
But we'll learn something about this coach, right? Wasn't the result they wanted. How patient can he be? So he got away from those line combinations towards the end before the break there, right? He had McDavid and Drysdale together. He was kind of just doing whatever he needed to do to keep the streak alive when their play was stagnating. Went back to the lineup that probably gave him his team's best hockey. Was that configuration of those top two lines recently and didn't get the result. So we'll see what he ends up doing. See what he ends up doing for the next game. All right, that was Ask Us Anything, brought to you by Rini Buchlan. Big thanks for all your contributions here on the stream. Much appreciated. Time now for our gem of the day. Struds, anything standing out to you other than all these fantastic-looking hats from our friends at Kindred?
Yeah, the hats are first class, and they just absolutely nailed it. But this one was a tearjerker. And I quote, you know, Streddy, are you a little tired? Your eyes look a little heavy. And I said, you know what? And I quote myself, I don't have a lot of juice. I didn't sleep well last night. And you said, I quote again, you know what? You've carried me many nights. I'll carry you tonight. What a partner you are. Thank you.
Ryan, you bet, buddy. I got you back, Streddy. I got you back, buddy.
Literally. You literally have my back.
Literally got you back. All right. Okay, podcast tonight. We had lots of fun, though. Thanks for all your contributions on the stream. Next podcast coming your way as I check the schedule. I think we're going to try and do one. Not going to promise Friday night. We'll either do one Friday or Saturday night, maybe both days. I don't know. We got a little tug of war happening timing wise. So we got to figure a few things out, but we are going to try and give you 15 or 16 this month in the short month. So we're going to be blasting a ton off in the weeks ahead. Big thanks to our title sponsor, Sherwood Buick GMC, and a big thanks to our pals at Kinprints. We have some hats. Lots of people are asking, how do we get our hands on the hats? I'm not sure yet. We got to figure it out. We just did a big run of a bunch of them. We'll do some giveaways on the show. I think that'll probably be your best bet. As far as setting up a store online or something to purchase, we're looking into all that, but that's kind of new territory for us. So bear with us. In the meantime, we'll just show them off on the pod and we'll give a few away. Have a great finish to your night, and look forward to chatting again soon. See you, Struds. Bye, Steve.
Good night, everybody.
Night, boys.